Today, and we're going to go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we've been reading in the Bible, and we just read through the book of Jeremiah. We are reading in the book of Jeremiah in our scripture reading, and we're going to go there in Jeremiah this morning. Jeremiah. Now, as you're turning there to Jeremiah 14, I want to say that God made a covenant with the nation of Israel. God made a covenant with the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. And Moses was the go-between, the mediator between God and the people of Israel. And Israel accepted that covenant that God made with them. And it was conditioned that God would bless them if they kept God, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, as their God. And didn't have any other gods. And they just worshiped the Lord. And they followed his commandments. And they did the sacrifices that he gave them, and they would serve him from the heart. God said, I'll bless you. I'll give you the blessings of the covenant. But if you turn away from me and you go to other gods and you go away from my covenant, then you're going to get the curses of the covenant upon your land. And here in Jeremiah 14, the Lord had already told them through the prophet Jeremiah that they had forsaken him. They'd abandoned his covenant, and it was too late to save them from captivity. They were going to go into captivity. And it was so bad that God said, I don't even want you, Jeremiah, the preacher, to pray for these people. Don't even pray for them to avoid captivity. They are going to go through chastening judgment. They must go through it. Don't pray that they don't. However, I want to say to you this morning, there's one verse in chapter 14, and I want to preach on that one verse, and that verse gives you hope, and it's a hope for the remnant of the people of Israel as well. I'm going to read it. It's in verse 22 of chapter 14, and here's what it says. It says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Now this verse, this one verse, as I was reading it, came as a rainbow in the rain of the storm, and it gives hope. It gives a hope of a great outpouring of God's grace upon the nation of Israel. It gives hope that God will deliver Israel from the painful chastisement of the captivity that they're going to have to suffer and that they're going to have to go through. And the message this morning to you is a message of hope from the prophet Jeremiah, verse 22. And here's the name of the message. Wait upon God for his set time of revival. Wait upon God for his set time of revival. Now, by revival, I mean the Lord God pouring out great blessings upon you, blessings of his saving grace upon you who are his people, and God doing great and mighty things in answer to your prayer, especially for our nation, the United States of America. And here in Jeremiah 14, 22, the prophet is saying, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord God? Therefore we'll wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things. In other words, the blessings, the showers of blessings, God had withholden them. They had a great famine in the land. The animals were dying. The people didn't have any food. They couldn't get food. It would be like going to the grocery store. There's no food on the shelves. Your family is dying because they can't get food. And what the prophet is saying, is there anybody in heaven or earth that can get rid of this famine? Is there anybody that can return blessing back to our land so we have our food and we have the blessings of the covenant that God made with us? And he said, no, there's nobody that could do that. He said, can the heavens themselves do it? Can the creation itself do it? Nope, the creation cannot do it. Those that believe in evolution believe that the creation just was always here and it was a little blob and it exploded and it became what we have now. They believe in pantheism and evolution, and that is a lie. This verse says, no, there's no evolution. There's no pantheism. There is only one God. He can curse and he can bless, and you need to go to him for blessing and for revival. And so I'm saying this morning, I believe there's hope in this text in Jeremiah for your prayers concerning the coming elections for our country. And for a time, a period of deliverance from captivity that we are under from the globalists who want to bring in a beast, one world government, one world financial system. I believe there's hope in this verse in God to delay the enemy's timeline and to pour out his blessing upon you, upon your church, upon your family, upon this country in a revival. There's hope here in this text of Jeremiah for our prayers concerning our loved ones to be answered by only the living God himself. There's hope in this text that you could rejoice in a sense of God's presence in your life again. Maybe you are going through a dry period. You're going through a dusty period. You're going through a spiritual famine period. You can have that closeness to God again. You could have that joy in the Lord. Like the Bible says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? You know what? Trying to get joy in sports heroes, trying to get ultimate joy in entertainment people, trying to get joy in money, trying to get joy, you see, in the things of this world are vanity. They're like chasing bubbles that are going to pop. They do not fulfill the deepest need of your heart. But God says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And that's what you need today. And if you have that revival, you'll get your joy from the Lord. And the message for you, no matter what you're going through, is wait upon God for his set time of revival. Wait upon God for his set time of revival. I want to say three things about that. Number one, because God does have a set time for revival. Notice verse 22 says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord, our God? In other words, you have to wait upon God for the set times of blessing that he can only give you in your life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is saying that nothing else can give you blessing and revival. Only God himself and the true and the living God is the only one that can do that. And this land was forsaken by God. You see, they had kept God waiting. They had turned away from God to Baal. They had looked for rain from Baal. They looked to Baal for food. They looked to Baal for joy. They looked for the Asherah for joy. They looked to the God of the nations around them, the gods, I should say, of the nations around them, and they were looking for joy and for blessing, but they couldn't get it. Can I say to you that the answer for America to have God's blessing is to turn back to the God of the Bible, is to turn back to Jesus Christ? It's to turn to God and to turn to him for real. You know, after 9/11, people went to church for a little while, but it didn't last with them. You know, you're at church today, but just going to church isn't the key. You need to turn back to God. And you need to have a personal relationship to the God of the Bible. And that is what will make America great and will take the curse off the land that we have gone through. Take the captivity, listen to me, off the land. You see, the key for America is, the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, of my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear. Then he'll hear. And so the Bible says that there are set times, listen, in God's calendar when he gives revival. Just like we have a set time when we bring in the harvest. At the end of summer, you pick the pumpkins, you bring in the harvest, you got the food. Israel didn't have any pumpkins at harvest. Israel didn't have any hay to feed the animals. Israel didn't have any food in the barn. It didn't have anything because God had pulled it back. Do you know God can do that with you? And he does it to get your attention. But there are set times normally when God will bring showers. Usually they say April showers bring what? May flowers. And May flowers bring pilgrims, right? No. But April showers bring May flowers. And so there'd be showers that would cause the land to grow crops. And then the late showers at the end of summer would cause them to be able to bring the crops in. And God says in Ezekiel 34, 26, there shall be showers of blessing. In other words, God is going to bring off and bring in the showers. He'd held them off, though, from Israel. And could that be that God has done that in our land? Because our land, listen to me, listen up, our land was founded by God. Our land was dedicated by God, to God. Do you know that Washington won the Revolutionary War against the Britons with God's help? Do you know that Washington, when he dedicated the nation to the Lord after his inauguration, was at 9/11 in New York City? Right there is where he dedicated this nation to God. And he said, if we turn away from the God of the Bible, we're going to have curses upon us. And so America is like Israel in that sense. And that's why the only true cure for our nation is to turn back to the God of the Bible. Brother Bob Bajeski has been going out and trying to get people to vote red because, as he said, if they vote red, they're going to be able to keep preaching in the pulpit. But if they vote blue, they're going to take that away and they're going to take those freedoms away. But ultimately, Brother Bob knows that he doesn't want to just get people to vote red this year. He wants people to vote for the red blood of Jesus Christ to wash away their sin. And that they could be saved by Jesus, because that is what ultimately is going to make the difference in their lives. And the prophet Jeremiah says, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord, our God? You see, because the God of the Bible has set times to give us revivals. And God promises that. In fact, in Psalm 102:13, God says this, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. I'm saying that God is telling you back there that God has set times to bless and deliver nations and the nation of Israel. After her captivity, after the punishments for turning away from God, God has a set time, listen to me, to bring his blessings back upon his people. And in Psalm 103:13, God is telling you that he has, listen, set times to hear your prayers, to answer your prayers. And perhaps he's chastened you and withdrawn his presence from you. Well, he is dealing with you, and if you turn to him, he has set times that he's going to bless you. And the Bible says in Acts 2, 1 and 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You see, the prophet Jeremiah is telling you this morning that there are set times when God gives revivals. There are set times when God returns his blessings and his presence back to his people. And you need that because God does have his set times for revival. And, you know, thank God that we're having this campaign, but we need God to show up and to give us a set time. Number two, wait upon God for his set time of revival. Number two, because God does have his sovereign touch for revival. Not only his set time for revivals, but his sovereign touch for revival. Notice it says in verse 22 of Jeremiah 14, therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Now, whenever you come in the Bible and you see the word therefore, you're supposed to ask why for the Holy Spirit put it there for. Here's the word therefore, and what it is saying is that okay, it is there for a reason. God put that there for a special reason. And what is that special reason? It's to point you back to you have sinned, you have done wrong, God has withdrawn, and only God himself can change the weather. Only God himself can bring back the rain. Only God himself can bring back the pumpkins. Only God himself can bring back the food and the blessing. He's withdrawn it. And you know what? In America, we have seen God withdraw his hand. We have seen the devil get the upper hand in our colleges, in our schools, and throughout our nation. And we have seen, we are getting more and more to the point where it's going to even be illegal, you see, to preach the word of God in our land. And we're fighting for our freedom. Only God can give that back to us. And so, by saying it's only God, we're saying God is sovereign. God alone ultimately controls the wind and the weather. So not only does God have a set time to hear your prayers for revival, but he is the sovereign one. He is the one that is greater than Satan. He's greater than the demon rat party. He's greater than these wishy-washy people that go along with the demon rat party, though they're in the Republican Party by name only. God is the one that can do it. God is the one that can save people from hell and change their lives. And we have to look to him to do it. We have a 5-week campaign. And we're working hard to bring people here, working hard to decorate the church, working hard to give you an opportunity to be saved. But listen to me, only God can change your mind. Only God can work in your life so that you will make a decision to trust Jesus Christ to save you and to come into your heart and change your life. I mean, it's good that you're here to hear the word of God, but God is the one that's sovereign, and we look to him to do that change that we need in our lives. And you know what? We prayed for a president to get in there that would be against abortion and get Roe v. Wade overturned, and God gave us that in 2016. We had a president that God blessed our economy, and we were able to get food on the table, and inflation was down, and we had a lot of good things happen in 2016. And yet, a China virus was launched upon us, and then election fraud was launched upon us, and 2020, that president was taken from us. And somebody else was put in place. It was really a machine because the man himself was failing in his health, but it was a machine. And behind that machine was Satan. But is God sovereign? Yes, he is. Is God stronger than Satan? Yes, he is. Well, then why did God withhold, listen to me, why did God withhold our prayers when we prayed in 2020? And even after the election, we prayed and fasted that God, he made us wait. He made us wait, and he is sovereign. Why? So that we, listen to me, so that you would know that only God can deliver our country. It's not going to be Donald Trump himself, though God can use Donald Trump. It's going to be God, and we have to turn back to the God of the Bible. we'd hoped for it in 2022 that things would get a lot better. We saw God help, but it didn't turn around. And now we're looking to God because He is all powerful. He's more powerful than the devil. And only God can give us His blessing. Only God can send the kind of revivals to our country we need. And you say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying, listen, hope in God. Wait upon God for His set time of revival. Because God does have set times when He pours out His blessing. He does have that. And because God does have His sovereign touch for revival. When God decides to send revival, nobody can stop it. When God decides to send blessing upon you, your family, your church, your country, nobody can stop it. So you wait upon Him because nobody else can give you what God can give you. And yet we have so many people today, they may go to church, they may go through the motions, but listen, they really are worshiping sports heroes. They're worshiping entertainers. They're worshiping their money. They're worshiping science. They're worshiping something else. They don't really put their faith in God and wait upon God. I'm saying wait upon God. For His set times, because He has set times of revival. Wait upon God, because God's stronger than the devil. God is greater than anything else. He is sovereign. Wait upon God for His sovereign touch. And you can see it. And the churches in America, they used to do that. They used to have times of prayer and fasting. They'd say God has withdrawn His blessing. God has withdrawn. And in colonial America, especially, they did this. They would, and they say, we need revival. We need our young people. Our young people are interested in dancing. Our young people are interested in all kind of doing bad things. We need to pray that they would be in love with God, that they would be in love with Jesus. And guess what? They prayed and they fasted. And God had set times and He would give them revivals. Do you know Jonathan Edwards' grandfather was Solomon Stoddard? And he had special harvest times, just like we're having a physical harvest time. He had spiritual harvest time when a bunch of people would get saved and God would work in their hearts. Wouldn't it be great if you came to church today for this Harvest Sunday and you met God personally? Wouldn't it be great if He changed your heart permanently? Wouldn't it be great if you met Jesus Christ like I did when I was 17? I'm saying God has set times for that. He is sovereign. And I'm saying that God has set times for revival. And therefore, wait upon God. You need to wait upon God for His set time of revivals. And number three, because God does have His seasons of waiting for revival. He has His set times for revival, number one. He does have His sovereign touch that He can give revival, number two. But because, wait upon God, because God does have His seasons of waiting for revival. Now, it's interesting here. You read this chapter, and God is telling Jeremiah, don't even pray for these people. God is telling Jeremiah, they're going to be judged. God is telling Jeremiah, they're going to go through famine. They're going to go through chasing. And they're going to go through war. They're going to go through war. Boy, we have been threatened with World War III. Who knows how close we've come. They're going to go through war, he said. He said in this verse, he said, wait upon God for His set time. And do you know how long it would take before that set time arrived? Listen to this. Jeremiah was told to buy land in the land of promise, but he was also told that the Babylonians are going to come. They're going to take the people captive. They're going to rape the women. They're going to kill the children. They're going to take them. And for 70 years, they're going to be in captivity. 70 years. Do you know our land has been in captivity? In 1913, we went under a different monetary system. And our money's under captivity of these globalists and of the Federal Reserve. But in at the end of World War II, our country's really been in captivity. And I believe that our president, John Kennedy, he tried to fight against that, and he was assassinated. I believe Donald Trump has tried to fight against that captivity, and they tried to take him out. perhaps Ronald Reagan as well. I'm just trying to say to you that thank God that he's kept Donald Trump alive, but I want to say to you that we've had to wait. We've had to wait. We thought, well, in 2016, that's great. He's going to bring peace and prosperity. But it didn't happen. It started to happen. But God says, you need to wait upon me. You need to be right with me so that you can be patient until my set time of revival comes, my sovereign touch for revival comes. You have to wait upon me for that revival. You see, the Israelites were too busy making money and doing their thing to worship God. Listen, they made God wait, listen, for 490 years. Every seventh year, they were supposed to let their land go without planting crops and harvesting crops and trust God to take care of them in that seventh year. They said, no, we're not going to trust God. We're going to work on that seventh year. We're going to work the land. And you know what? Some believers today, they say, oh, we're too busy to go to church. We're going to work on Sunday. Or we're going to have fun on Sunday. They keep God waiting. And God says, you're going to keep me waiting, Israel? For 490 years, they kept them waiting. And every seventh year, that measured up to 70 times they kept God waiting and didn't do the seventh Sabbath year. You divide 70, you divide that into 490, those years, the 7 years into 490, you divide 7 into 490 because they made God wait. And you come up with 70 years. God said, you made me wait for 70 years while you did your thing, I'm going to keep you in captivity now for 70 years. See, we turn God on, we turn God off, and then we expect, oh, I'm just going to turn God on again like a light switch or a valve on a water thing. No, it doesn't work that way. You turn God off, and you can't just turn him on when you want to turn him on. He's not your genie. You see, God is sovereign. And God has seasons of waiting upon him and seeking him and crying unto him. Have you been doing that for our country? Have you been doing that for our elections? Have you been doing that for a revival of the presence of God and seeing people get saved and baptized? I noticed that in our church we had 6 weeks where not one person came forward and got baptized to profess their faith in Christ. By the way, if you've been saved, you should come forward and get baptized. Because you're not obeying the first command after you get saved. You don't get saved by being baptized, but it's the first command after you get saved. And you should be doing that. And for 6 weeks, we didn't see one. But we sought God and we asked God. And last week, on the seventh week, we had 2 people get baptized. 3 people joined the church. We had to wait for it. And God will do that. You see, we keep God waiting. We're too busy for God. But if you're too busy for God, let me tell you something, you're too busy. You're too busy to listen to the still small voice of the Word of God when God's telling you to do something. And then as soon as you need something, oh God, I need this right now. Yeah, but why'd you keep God waiting? Now he's going to have you wait. He's going to have you wait. And I'm saying wait upon God for his set time of revival blessing because God does have his seasons of waiting for revival. We have prayer meeting here every Wednesday night and we should be praying for this country. And have you been coming? Have you been praying? And if you haven't, then, oh, I need you to help right now. I need you to get this president in. I need this person to get in. I need this. I need to. Listen, God says, you kept me waiting. I'm going to keep you waiting. And are you going to seek him today? Or are you going to do what you've been doing and say, Pastor, I'm too busy. Now, come on. I've got my schedule. I've got my things. I don't need to be here Wednesday to pray. Well, then God doesn't need to come through for us, perhaps. Are you waiting upon God? You know, Joshua and Caleb went out of Egypt with the Jewish people, 2 million people, and they got out there in the wilderness, and God gave them the law, and they already began to forsake God, made the golden calf, and God said, all right, 10 times I've talked to you, 10 times you've refused to believe my word and gone your own way. All right, now, I'm going to make you wander for 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. And you know what? Joshua and Caleb, he said, you believe me. You're doing the right thing. But you're going to have to wander for 40 years with those people. And for 40 years, Joshua and Caleb wandered. And then God said, okay, I got a new generation. They're going to go into the promised land. All those people that wandered died except for Joshua and Caleb. They died in the wilderness. They never got to go in. But Joshua and Caleb got to go in. By the way, you will die and go to hell unless you get born again. Did you hear me? You will die and go to hell, even though you may have certain blessings physically, unless you truly get faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus comes into your heart and washes your sins away. He's knocking at the door of your heart, but you need to open the door. You need to do it today because you don't know if you have tomorrow. Amen? You don't know. I don't know. You're here because the Lord is offering. Don't keep him waiting. Get saved. And if you're saved, get baptized. Don't wait. Don't keep him waiting. And so, you know, they didn't keep him waiting, and they believed. And God said, okay, you're going into the land. They went in with the younger generation. But it took them 5 years to fight the wars of Canaan. And now Caleb, he's 85 years old. 40 years old was he when he believed God's promise. And now at 45 years later, and God made him wait. But guess what? He got to go into the land and got to have his inheritance in the land. You know what? I thank God for being here. I've been here for 47 years. This is going into my 48th year this month. 48th year as a pastor. I want to tell you something. God has his set time, but he does bless. He sends showers of blessing, and we have to be patient. You need faith and patience. Listen to me. If you're going to inherit God's promises for your family, for your life, for your church, for your community, for your country, you're going to have faith and patience. Do you? These men did. God will make you wait. And yeah, well, hey, how about this one? We had some peace and prosperity in 2016. What? And we've been waiting on God. What if God gets Donald Trump elected and then they crash the economy and we don't have immediate prosperity like Trump did the first time? Are you going to give up on God? Perhaps we need that. Perhaps we need a time of depression. These people did. I'm saying the answer is not in the White House. The answer is in God's house. The answer's God. And having a relationship with God. Do you get it? And so wait upon God for his set time of revival, because God does have his seasons of waiting for revival. You know, the great men of God, like I've talked about, David Brainerd, they used to go off in the fields and in the woods, and they would pray for God's revival and for his power as they would witness to the American Indians. And these people weren't getting saved, and as they prayed, they felt like God wasn't hearing their prayer. And then they would pray sometime for an hour, and then God would break through and help them to pray. And you see, everything's got to be fast today. Turn on the TV, boom, it goes on like that. Turn on the computer, it goes on like that. Turn on the light, it goes on like that. You can't do that with God. You need to take time to be holy. You need to take time to get things from God. You need to take time to get revival. But if you get a revival, my friend, if you get a revival like Whitfield had, if you get a revival like... Do you know we haven't had a great awakening like they had in the 1740s, the first great awakening under Edwards and Whitfield? And so we have, and then we had the second great awakening in the 1850s and 60s. And then we had a third great awakening at the turn of the 20th century under the Welsh Revival. We haven't had a fourth great awakening in 125 years. But let me tell you,
If we get one, it'll be worth the waiting. Are you waiting on God for revival? Boy, that's what we need, because God says, wait upon him for set times of revival, because God does have his seasons for revival. And God, I believe, is getting ready, listen to me, to give us a revival at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. But will you be of one accord with those that are waiting upon God for it? Will you be in one place, the church house, when God sends a revival? Will you stay with the old time book? Will you stay with the old time standards? Will you stay with, for instance, Donald Trump, if he chooses him, and I believe he has, to be the man? Will you do it? See, God's just looking for one person in many cases. God's just looking for one person that will listen and will wait upon God for his set times of revival. Because God does have set times. God is sovereign. He's got the power. And listen to me, God himself can come through and bless your life after a period of waiting for revival. There are a lot of shenanigans of the devil that you have to be patient to go through in order to get blessing. Our bus captains know that. Here's a bus captain here. He's waited upon God. How many did you have on the bus today? He had 42 on his bus today. 42 on his bus today. But he stayed with it when he had 15, and he stayed with it when he had 20, and he stayed with it because he knows there are set times when God will come through. But many people say, well, it's not worth it. I don't see anything happening. You'll never see anything happening if you don't stay with it. If you don't stay with it through the shenanigans of the devil, through the sin of people whose hearts are hard, if you don't stay with God. But if you stay with God, you'll see he has set times. And I've seen it in this church. He's had set times to bless in this church. But he's had other times where I had to go through seasons of waiting upon God. But he'll come through. He'll come through. But listen to me, you can't have revival if you don't have Bible. If you've never had spiritual life, if you never let Jesus in your heart, he's knocking on the door. He's got nail-pierced hands. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And if you put your trust in him, he'll fill that God-shaped hollow place that you got inside of you. When I was a teenager, I'd go to dances and I'd feel empty inside. I could be with people, but I'd feel empty. I lacked Jesus. And then I got saved at 17. I was 17 when I accepted Jesus. I believe this is the day for you to get saved, some of you that are here. And to open your heart and say, Jesus, I'm putting my trust in you. You know, you could be a teenager here today. I was kind of a hothead as a teenager, got into rebellion. I was going down the wrong road, and God got a hold of me. God stopped me. Listen, that's what you need today to get saved. And then you need revival once you're saved. May God help you. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about waiting upon God for